Hello and welcome to another episode of Building Minnesota Rocker. I'm Ashley, aka Midnight. I'm gonna fix my camera real quick. Boom, nailed it. Happy to see you guys here at the podcast on the Rocker YouTube. And if you're listening on any podcast platform, where really it's where you can find us, appreciate you tuning in. It's me, as always, giving some host love to Brett Diamond, the COO here at Minnesota Rocker. And we have on our most tenured guests, I guess. We've got Brian Saint, head coach for Minnesota Rocker, as well as Jake, a.k.a. Reppin, assistant coach, lead analyst, and just overall BA here at the team. Total badass is what I mean. Sorry. Okay, anyone, please stop me from talking. Take the intro.
Thanks for having us.
Heck yeah, bro.
Always happy to jump on, so.
Today is the day. Well, okay, so I'm a little slow, and I'm a little mad at myself for not, like, forecasting this or being aware. But apparently, Cold War comes out tonight at 9 p.m. CST if you have it digitally. Is that real? Did I read something wrong on Twitter?
Nope, it does indeed come out tonight. I just downloaded the game. Like an hour ago, actually.
Nice. So, I probably won't play it tonight. I want to, like, wake up tomorrow and just, like, go in grind mode. But this is exciting day, obviously. New COD releasing every year is always hype. I get especially excited. But we wanted to have the coaches on to talk today a bit about, like, wow, what an off season. We squad wiped the roster. We're coming back. We've got a new lineup. Wanted to talk with you guys about, you know, overall, like, overhead, how that process kind of went about. Talk about what's going on with the team now, obviously where they're living. I think we mentioned it a little bit last week, but we can go in deeper into what, you know, the guys living in Dallas for this season means. And just let's start there. Brian, give us the bird's eye view of how off season went here for Rocker.
It was off, I'll tell you that much. It was a lot of just relaxing, just, you know, relishing the time where I'm not, you know, focused on Call of Duty 10 hours a day. So it was nice to, you know, catch up on a lot of sleep, you know, kind of build a routine of, you know, going to the gym and, you know, trying to eat healthy the best we can. You know, that's not there yet, but, you know, we're making progress. So it's just been a matter of getting in a routine and just taking in the time that we had off.
Ashley, is your question, like, what did we do with our time in the off season, or, like, how did we pick up our guys?
Both. I want to know, like, what you guys did to kind of get through the off season, and you know, kind of like where we like how we're feeling now going into Cold War. Like, obviously we had some big changes with the roster, but just wanted to hear, like, kind of your POV going into brand new COD.
I'm super pumped. My off season was a little different than Bry's. I helped out with Rocker and Version 1 a pretty good amount, so really helping out with our Rocket League team.
We've been keeping you very busy this off season.
Jake has been very busy.
I definitely have not had a shortage of work to do, believe that. I can't really speak to a lot of the work I'm doing, but I think you guys will be pleasantly surprised when you see some of the cool things that I've been working on. So stay tuned. More to come there.
I'm super stoked, Jake. I mean, among many other things that he's been doing for us behind the scenes, but we've been working on a special project together that we're really excited about. So I know that we're so annoying right now because we're not going to say what it is, but we're very excited with what we've been up to.
I'm ready for the season to start. I have not played Call of Duty other than to play accuracy in a one-on-one on MWR, like, two weeks ago.
That's honestly more Call of Duty than that. Actually, I probably played a little bit more because I played that Black Ops 4 throwback tournament for 2 hours. But besides that, that's the only Call of Duty I've played.
You've been grinding Valorant, though.
I've been grinding Valorant. That's no question. But, yeah, I have not touched a controller or Call of Duty. I don't even know if I'm going to use a controller tonight when the game releases. I might just be too...
Shut up. You're not playing mouse keyboard. Are you going to allowed to be... Or will you be allowed to do that in our throwback tournaments?
Nah, for tournaments, I'll have to use controller. So I'll probably use controller.
Our guys... Attach and Priest have streamed Warzone in the offseason, I think. Accuracy and Major Maniac have just kind of been chilling. I know Accuracy specifically really tries to step away from gaming at all during the off season, catch up with friends, catch up with family, and really just relax, but these guys have been texting in our group chat every day for the last week how excited they are to play. They're already planning to play kickoff tournaments together, trying to get invited to invitation-only tournaments with one another. And anytime Brian or I FaceTime one of our players, all four of them are together. So it's just really nice to see these guys in the same spot, already talking about Call of Duty, already strategizing and thinking, you know, what's going to make practice the best it can be for the year. And like, I'm just honestly pumped for the season to start.
That's awesome to hear that the vibes are good. Talk a little bit about these kickoff tournaments and just like what happens in the pro community at 9 o'clock tonight when people can start jumping into the game.
Most people will play pubs for a little bit, but a lot of like the amateur players, especially in, you know, a good amount of pros as well, will hop in kickoff S&D tournaments, because S&D is the one game mode that stays, you know, really consistent year after year. And even though, like, no matter what the in-game settings are, whatever you need to tweak will be figured out, you know, relatively fast. So a lot of people will hop in S&D tournaments pretty much as soon as the game releases.
Ryan and I are gonna have some kickoff.
Yeah, nice. So are those like game battles tournament? I mean, we'll talk about the tournament series that CDL is doing, but like where are these tournaments, right? Like
there's a multitude of places. Like, I think the big three still are Game Battles, Checkmate, and UMG. Those are the ones that, you know, the COD scene has historically been on throughout history. So those are the ones that we'll probably be hosting most of the kickoffs that people are playing in. But I've been seeing new websites pop up around as well. I think I saw Simp tweet one out earlier, so we'll see if that one catches any traction.
I think you're muted, Brett.
I was just asking, what are the prize pools like for most of these events, or is it mostly for the guys just about starting to get the reps in and this is the best way to do it?
Prize pools for kickoffs are pretty hefty.
They're the highest ones for, you know, the standard online tournaments, because they usually get the highest turnout.
For reference, Dallas Empire won like four in a row, five in a row last year. Clayster tweeted a screenshot. I just pulled it up. First place. So they got first in six straight. The prizes were 2,000, 3,000, 2,000, 1,200, 1,200, 2,000. So, I mean, and they did that in 2 days. So, I mean, it's
a few thousand each.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Hefty chunk of change if you can parlay a couple wins together.
There's an aggressive schedule of content and big tournaments that CDL is helping kind of some of the French, or I think all the franchise teams, put on. Ours is on Monday, baby. Minnesota Rocker Arms Race Pro Mod 6v6 craziness. We've already got some stacked teams, and if I'm honest, some of the captains haven't even picked up the Rocker players yet, so I'm about to have a stern talking to some of the captains. But yeah,
whoa,
there are some nuts teams that are coming to be a part of this, and I'm really excited to see, you know, where we land on Monday with how big this thing could be. Because I think we wanted to, like, be creative with it, right? We didn't want it to be, like, uber crazy, like 4v4, all the crazy competitive game modes right away. Wanted to do something a bit fun, so we think Pro Mod is a good way to do that. You guys know what Pro Mod is, right? Okay, maybe I should have just explained for people who might not know, but it's basically where there's a variety of guns or weapons that are used amongst the players on the team. So, for instance, we'll have one sniper, one submachine gun player, one AR player, so on and so forth. So we're really excited to just kind of, you know, bring some creators together, bring some pro players together, and just throw a banger of a tournament, $25,000 on the line. I'm pretty stoked, so I think you're going to see those types of tournaments too, like those entertainment. I mean, that's obviously kind of like more of an entertainment type of tournament as opposed to what you guys are talking about. But I'm interested to see how the first, like, you know, those very first tournaments that start getting put on by your UMGs, your CMGs, your game battles, all those, like, who's really going to start to, like, take the lead? Because as you guys mentioned, you know, you had Empire last year just starting out ahead a little bit. And then, ironically, they ended up winning at the end of the year, too. What's up with that? Maybe it's all about, like, we're just...
Yeah, it's about how you start, I guess.
It is. Get that momentum, right? From your guys' POV, obviously letting the players kind of do their thing, they all just got settled down in Dallas, and we can talk a little bit more about what you guys think, you know, that looks like dynamic-wise with the team, but how good are we feeling going into Cold War with this roster? I mean, obviously, I know just before we started recording this, you guys mentioned, like, yeah, it's like, seems like from the gameplay is a little bit slower than Modern Warfare. What's your guys' take on how our roster adapts to this game?
Real quick, Ashley, I think the stream died.
Yes, it sure did. My internet is not suitable right now. I had to end the stream part.
Okay.
Yep. We need a producer. But yeah, go ahead, Brian. I'll edit that part out. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think the team's gonna, you know, perform really well early on the game. I know all of them are gonna be playing the kickoffs together. Most of the players on our team really took a step away from COD this offseason. Preston played a bit of Warzone, same with Dylan every now and then, but I think most of them took as much time off as possible, opposed to some other players who were just, you know, playing throwback eights and, you know, all these like Black Ops 4 tournaments and stuff like all off season. So they're going to be coming into the game really refreshed and, you know, ready to go right from the get go. So I'm excited to see how they perform.
I'm excited as well. I'm excited not only to see just the new look team, obviously, but to see the guys streaming, right? I think that's so important, especially at the beginning of the game, especially because, I mean, explain like I'm five. Like, does tomorrow the game comes out, are we scrimming other pro teams? Like, when do scrims start? What does the first like couple weeks of a game look like for a pro team?
The first like week or two is mostly just like a lot of tournaments and stuff like that. I think like when you're like a week and a half in, you'll kind of see people playing like some eights respawns just to like test some things out. And once it's around like 2 weeks, you know, from launch of the game, we'll probably start scrimming a little bit, kind of once we, you know, have a little bit of a setting base and map pool defined.
Brian, do you remember what in Ghosts when Columbus was 1 week after the game release?
Yeah, I was insane online, and then I thought I was going to win that event.
That was absolutely crazy.
Was that the event that like Big T retired after, or was that later? I feel like it was MLG Columbus.
Nah, he played,
but that was Chicago.
He played at Philly after that as well.
Philly, okay.
It was after Philly.
Okay, dang, yeah, that's a throwback. I think, like, I mean, just thinking back to every, like, year, obviously it's always hype when a new COD comes out because it's new content, new game, new thing to kind of play and get into. I'm really impressed with, you know, obviously we have Treyarch this year, so that makes me feel a little bit better about, you know, the competitive aspect of the game and how that will be kind of handled on their end. But I'm also excited to see just what happens in Warzone, because that's become a huge entity for Call of Duty, and I'm wondering how they updated.
Yeah, that one's a big question mark for me. I don't really know how they're going to implement everything from Cold War into Warzone. I feel like they're going to keep the movement and, you know, the same engine and mechanics from MW. So it's going to be weird to see how they implement the Cold War guns, because apparently all of them are going to be allowed in the game. So seeing how those weapons operate on a different system and engine is going to be weird. It's a really interesting crossover. I don't know how they're going to pull it off, but I guess they have it all planned out. And I feel like they're going to overhaul the entire map as well come season one, whenever that is, I think early December. So I'm really intrigued.
Dude, I hope. I hate Verdansk. I'll say it. I can get whatever. Call me names. I don't like that map, dude. I want a new map with a new Call of Duty. Let's go.
I just don't want 30-story buildings.
Yeah, those are by far the worst thing in Warzone. It's going to be weird. I don't think you're going to see a lot of pros playing Warzone, assuming the mechanics are more in line with MW opposed to Cold War, because a lot of people don't like playing a COD that will, you know, throw off their muscle memory.
Yo, wow, that didn't really register to me before, because I obviously heard about, you know, they're going to keep the current Warzone engine, which is from Modern Warfare, into the new Call of Duty, but they're, like you said, going to update it with those Black Ops vibes and things, and hopefully, fingers crossed, for my sake, a new map. I didn't really think about that. Like, that changes the movement, that changes kind of how you approach that game, and you almost kind of do at that point. Look at Warzone and the main multiplayer part of Call of Duty as like separate things, but it's interesting on the pro player side of things if that will deter them from wanting to play it very often.
Mm-hmm. I think even last year you saw a little bit. People who were grinding Warzone tended to have a bit of a dip in performance. I know Krim was playing it for a little bit and he said, okay, like I'm done with Warzone, kind of going into the later end of the season with champs and everything. So even like on that game when it was, you know, almost on par just with like more health and, you know, some extra things here and there, a lot of pros stepped away from at the end. So if the whole movement and everything's different, I don't think you're going to see too many pro players dive in the Warzone, and it'll mostly just be a lot of streamers, content creators, and, you know, Warzone pros.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I always sort of assumed that the pros saw it as just a different game. Like, you're probably not improving your multiplayer skill set by playing a lot of Warzone. That was always my guess, but that's interesting to hear from the coach's perspective.
Jake, what are your thoughts here? Do you think that Warzone, the difference in engine, is something that will deter pro players from wanting to play in it? Do you think that, you know, if you're looking, especially if you're like a content creator or top am trying to be on the come up, do you just pick a side at this point? Is there eventually going to be a Call of Duty Civil War? Like, there's going to be the Warzone pop and then the pub pop.
Yeah, there hasn't been one of these in years since Call of Duty 4 and World at War, when the community was kind of split between those two games. I don't think there's ever been something in Call of Duty like this since then.
That's a good point. Which side of that battle were you guys on? Were you World at War or stay on COD 4 for one more year?
I stayed on COD 4 because I played competitive and the whole competitive side of things stuck with COD 4. And that's when I kind of got my start in the whole variant side of things, was year 2 of COD 4. Before that, it was mostly just S&D game battles, matches, and tournaments that I played.
Yeah, World at War was on map gen. But to answer your question, Ashley, from, you know, a second ago, yeah, I really, you know, 100% agree with Brian, assuming the gameplay mechanics are drastically different in terms of how you're moving, how you're angling around a corner, whether it's better to jump shot or drop shot. Like, they're two entirely different game modes, Warzone and multiplayer, but habits are habits, and you really do not want to create bad habits by playing a lot of Warzone. So I could definitely see, if there are drastic differences in gameplay mechanics, I could see the pros shying away from playing 100%.
Do you see ultimately, yeah, there's obviously a lot of talk. You know, we saw the news that 100 Thieves is looking at putting together a Warzone team. Other CDL teams are talking about it. We're talking internally about what our play is there. We're not going to break any news on this podcast, but just from purely a coach's perspective, you know, long term, I think anyone would expect that, you know, that the competitive scene around Warzone and what that becomes will evolve, just given the popularity. It's sort of a no-brainer. From a coach's perspective, like, do you see, not even necessarily this year, but a year from now, 2 years from now, do you see the best Warzone players from a truly like skill in the game standpoint, not just streamer popularity, but do you see the best Warzone players being people that have been successful in other BRs, or do you see it being like COD pros that decide to focus on Warzone instead?
I think it'll mostly be COD pros who decide to stick with Warzone, because right now, kind of how the scape of Warzone is with tournaments and everything, it's just kill races and going around and just getting as many kills as you can. And a lot of other BR pros don't really play like that. You look at like Apex, Fortnite, all these other games. A lot of pros from there were just playing in game modes where it was just lobbies of entirely other pros and just playing for the win. That is something that was implemented into Warzone recently with the custom lobbies, but I don't think that format will be nearly as popular as things like kill race tournaments, especially with Warzone, because Warzone can be an extremely campy game. We played in private lobbies with the pros before, and seeing tournaments of that format in Warzone, you'll just have people camping on top of the skyscrapers in the corners of every room. It's not like a game like a Fortnite or an Apex where you're able to have a lot more freedom moving around the map without being punished in much. Warzone, if you're playing in a lobby like that, with, you know, 150 high skilled players, you take, you know, any step outside, you're pretty much dead.
I think that's go ahead, Jake.
No, I agree with Brian. I do think the one advantage that the typical BR player has over the ex-COD pro is that the typical BR player is going to be playing on mouse keyboard, and the ex-COD pro is going to be using a controller until he finally decides to get used to mouse keyboard.
See, here's the thing, though. Fortnite got to a point where it is now it's extremely controller dominated with how the auto aim and aim assist is. And I think the aim assist in COD is pretty high as well. You look at a lot of tournaments and a lot of the really high performers are controller players. I think Warzone actually has a pretty good mix of controller and mouse and keyboard, throughout these tournaments. But with how a lot of the BR games on PC have been going, it seems like controller has been the favorite for some of them due to how easy it is to aim in some of them.
Are you guys familiar with the format of competitive Fortnite? I'm not. I mean, I've watched some of it, but I haven't like focused in on understanding it.
It's insane.
Are you familiar with it off the top of your heads?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like 100 pros in one lobby, and it goes by a point system where like you get like a kill, you get 1 point, and then there's like other points based off like where you place in the game. So basically, the game, the first like 30 minutes of it, you'll rarely see anyone die. Like, maybe if two people land at the same spot, they'll fight. But every player is kind of just, you know, hiding, camped up until the zone gets, you know, this really small condensed bubble. And then at that point, it's just, like, all chaos ensues when there's still 80 players alive in the lobby. And it's just, it's interesting, to say the least. I'm not really too much of a fan of it. I think there's
it's
a lot.
It's
so
hard
of,
to follow.
It's very hard to follow, wild. And there's a lot of randomness involved.
I'll say not what Brian won't.
Nature of competitive BRs.
Yeah, I'll say what Brian won't. Competitive BRs
I don't
have
like it.
Proven that they, I think if Warzone, this is just my opinion of one, you know, not representing Rockers, me actually thinking this.
Cover if, the logo, whatever
cover
you're
the
about
logo.
To say.
If oh shoot no I'm just kidding but if we are gonna do like if CDL is a thing and then competitive Warzone is a thing, I think those two could play really nicely together. And I do think that the reason that BRs is difficult for them to be competitive, especially at first when you look back to the H1Z1 days, like I've been playing and following these BR games since you know DayZ and all that stuff. Arma 3, the H1Z1 days in season 2 or 3, my goodness, take me back. But you see like the RNG that's involved, where if you land and someone else lands and you have a pistol and they get the AR, like you're toast. It's not fair starting point. Now there are ways around that, right? You could throw them all in there with the same setup and then have them loot around for upgrades. Totally get that. But even like to that point, if you're looking at play scenes as most of the points, or you're looking at kills as most of the points, they are going to have that really like dry part of the game. And we saw it with the CDL streams, and obviously those were, you know, very large map with not that many teams, but it was a camp fest to try to get that first place play scene, which is not nearly as entertaining as the current format of a huge majority of Warzone tournaments, which is kill races, going to pubs. It's all kind of random anyway, like you're going to get in a pub and it's kind of even playing field from that point. I think my favorites to watch are when you have duos quadding up together. So if we have like let's just say theoretically, like there's a competitive Warzone game, we challenge Empire, we put two of our people, they put two of their people, we put them all in a squad together, they go in four and they split apart and then are in the same lobby trying to compete for kills. I think that's way more appealing than watching somebody sit in a house for 20 minutes and then they get the zone and it works out for them. I think that it's just from an entertainment standpoint, Warzone has that competitively. But with that being said, I'm not saying it can't or won't or shouldn't go the other way where there's a lobby full of competitors and we're seeing the literal best of the best duke it out versus each other, because there's a lot of excitement that you could do there. But I would like to see it adjusted so that it can kind of, you know, pick up what the other BR esports have dropped, right? The long camping waits and everything.
Yeah, I think in anything, whether it's esports, traditional sports, the rules that you put in place are going to, you know, what are you motivating people to do, right? Are you motivating people to aggressively try to rack up kills, or are you motivating people to, you know, camp out in a house, which is one of the hilarious things. The first, I'm blanking on the name of the series, but the first Warzone thing. Yeah, when the Paris guys dropped in, figured out where the zone was going and just chilled in the house the whole time.
That was our game plan too. That's what we were doing, and then we got shot out of a helicopter going over there.
Oh, I know, I remember that. And like,
yeah, we didn't last very long in those, did we?
And to be fair,
won one and got second another. The first one though, we got like last or something.
Yeah,
like that.
The first one was rough. We got better as time went on. For what it's worth, now that private match content that CDL put out was awesome because they did pre-record it and make it not boring. But if you're looking at a stream and you're expecting casters to fill time, my god, it's miserable as a viewer.
Dude, when Ray got in the monster truck and ran everybody over, that was incredible.
The best part about that was the whole Discord chat of all the pros when it was happening, because they muted everyone out when they died. So everyone was just typing in the chat, and it was just like non-stop, everyone's like, oh my god, what are we watching right now, and just like predicting what was gonna happen. It was
I hope there's like a screen grab of that.
I tweeted it before.
That like is
little,
so funny.
A little 30-second screen recording.
And that's what Warzone is to me. It's entertainment. Like, yeah, there's a competitive aspect to it. And definitely, like, when we're looking, like I'll be just honest, like, we are looking at Warzone streamers and what that could look like for us, right? And so I'm looking at, you know, how are they handling themselves outside of the game? How good are they inside of the game? I think we've seen just so many of these tournaments come. I mean, we've done them ourselves, like Rocket Royale. I think there's so much fun to watch and there's so much value there. So I think, you know, obviously we're all in on CDL and making sure that we have the best possible starting lineup, championship caliber team. But Warzone is a beast and it's really growing, and I think it's going to grow even more in the next year or two.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think every team in the CDL is thinking about what their right approach for Warzone is. And, you know, I don't think there's a right answer or wrong answer. And it will be interesting to see over the course of the next few months how different teams approach it, right? Obviously, you know, I think there's no question in my mind, every team has been thinking about it a lot. 100 Thieves getting in the league and obviously immediately bringing on a Warzone player and talking about it openly, I think is probably a starting gun where we're likely to, you know, to see additional moves. But to me, like, none of that changed the perspective really that we've had internally. But because there's not a clear, you know, construct for that scene, every team sort of has to decide, do you go after, you know, do you prioritize viewership and streamers? Do you prioritize, you know, somebody that's really good competitively and, you know, can rack up a ton of kills, but, you know, do they have the viewership numbers? Like, there's no right answer for that stuff, mm-hmm. for those questions. That's what every team will probably be thinking about. And, you know, not every, you know, some teams may have a Warzone aspect to their org. Some teams may not. There's really, you know, that's sort of the fun part is there's a lot of, you know, it is unstructured at the moment, which gives us a lot of room to, you know, to create something interesting or sit it out and wait for the ecosystem to develop further, right?
It's the Wild West, baby. Let's go. That's my attitude. I just look at esports. It's always the Wild West, man. You're trying to plot out, okay, in 6 months, what do you think this is going to happen? Or, you know, what's kind of the plan here? And ultimately, it always comes back to, like, what are the fundamentals of your organization and what are you actually trying to do in this space? Because up until now, you know, we've just had the COD team, which has been amazing, right? For us, you know, we've done some content together with those guys, and trust me, we have amazing plans to keep bringing you guys amazing content with that starting lineup. But I do think that just knowing how popular Warzone is, understanding that there are creators in this space, it is an oversaturated space, but that doesn't mean that there aren't those unique individuals out there who I think still haven't even hit their final form yet. That's my thoughts on it, and I'm always watching, literally always. Like, I have 80 eyes in the back of my head. I'm just always watching streams and checking out who's on the up and up. To go back into kind of the regular Call of Duty season, guys, obviously the actual season, so for those wondering, if you're not following super closely, that's totally okay. We're here to break it down. The game comes out tomorrow. We start scrimming, what is it, like a week or two after, when there's kind of like a rule set formally decided, or sort of semi-formally decided. There's going to be some cool content coming up in December. And then I don't think the season starts till like early 2021. I don't know if we can say when it starts yet, but it's not for a while. But it's not also not too far away. So like, what's the plan in these initial like months, guys, knowing that the first event isn't until next year? What is your guys' focus with the team and how you're approaching Cold War?
I mean, it's really the same thing as last year. I feel like most of the time, you know, a lot of these teams put in is early on in the game, because during like the first few months, you're trying to learn the layouts of all the maps, learn the spawns, you know, find some nerd spots on each map where you can get, you know, some cheesy kills here and there, find nade spots, find smoke spots. So the first few months are, you know, when we're generally putting in the most time by a long shot. And then after that develops into more so playing the scrims every day, improving on more micro things, and then going over film. And at the beginning of the year, it's less of that and more just learning everything about the game possibly.
I think the start date's really interesting. And again, not going to give anything away here, but I think when our first event is scheduled, I think that's kind of when typically in Call of Duty you see the really early movers start to actually understand the game, like really, really master it. And then a couple months later, teams pick up on what they're doing properly in practice, and it sort of gets copied, and then there's a real obvious meta. But I think the correct meta and how the game should be played will be found by its earliest adopters around the time of our season starting. And I think it's really cool that it's starting then, because you're not going to see teams get early event wins that kind of fall off afterwards.
So to that point, Jake, do you think that teams will... and I'll preface this by saying that the format for this season hasn't been publicly released. The schedule has not been publicly released, right? But let's say for the sake of discussion that it's similar to last year, where there's points that ladder up to standings that impact how how you're seeded. Do you think that teams and just players across the board will take that more seriously in the early days? Whereas we saw some players talk openly at the end of the season last year, not on our team, but on other teams, that they didn't really focus in on that, on learning the game until later. And then some of those teams had lower seedings heading into playoffs. And we were obviously the opposite, where, you know, to both of your credit, right. We got a good jump on understanding the game and some early success that helped our seeding when the event results fell off the cliff. But do you think the perspective and the approach of players and teams will be different this year?
Yeah, I think the league's more competitive than ever. I don't think mm-hmm. I think as the CDL becomes older and older and seasons go, you know, further down the line, players are going to become less complacent. There will be less people being late to practice. There will be less players with the mindset of, I don't need to learn it first because I have more raw skills. So I'll let another team figure it out. They can have their event win and I'll just replicate it and do it better than them in a couple months. I think you're going to see a lot of teams really try to push to be the front runners early on. Like,
yeah, I mean,
we went from 16 teams to 12 teams, 5v5 to 4v4. People are getting weeded out quickly.
I mean, you'll see like the teams that took it super seriously at the beginning of the year last year are the ones that generally had a lot of success at the end, with like Dallas and FaZe especially. If you have a slow start to the year just because you're not trying, your team's going to lose a lot of confidence within each other too, which is another aspect of it. If any pro team that thinks highly of themselves, if they're just struggling early on in the year, it's going to cause a lot of rifts in the team. So you need to start hot to kind of keep that momentum flowing, you know, from start to finish.
I think something that's really going to help us in that category is we have players on our team who are notorious for holding others accountable. I think we have people who are not afraid to speak up and expect a lot out of one another. Not in a discouraging way, but in a like, come on, like I need more out of you here. What's you're putting forth isn't acceptable. Or like, yo, look at what X player is doing. This is what we should all be doing. Let's get after it. And everyone sort of lead by example on this team, which I think is really, I mean, I'm just super looking forward to the work that these guys are all ready to put in. Because from a work ethic standpoint, like around the community, these guys are known as some of the best.
Yeah, that's so important in anything, right? Whether it's competition or even, you know, even for our staff, right? The ability to have honest conversations about where improvement is important and to be able to do it in a way that's not negative, right? That's about acknowledging where we can all improve on things and build and you know, and just, you know, keep going forward.
I think it's a true mark of a good team too when they're able to like set aside their egos, take constructive criticism, and really just be in it together because they are a team. They're not worried, well, my KD needs to be better so I get better scorecards made by Lion Man, which shout out to Lion Man scorecards, but like that should not be what you're thinking.
Yeah,
as
not a
pro.
not a single player on this team has ever been like that. Everyone on this team is kind of just always someone who will do and make any play necessary to win the game.
I think that's so important. And that's one thing that, I mean, even like last year with the previous team, I think a large majority of the team, that's why we recruit those guys, right? Because they're able to just like put their nose to the grindstone and do it. And we did have a great start last year. So I'm hoping this year it's a little bit of the same as we start hot or at least start super competitive with other top teams and then just keep carrying that all throughout, building up on it all season. I think, Brian, you made a really good point of if you don't start hot, some of those seeds can start to get planted, mm-hmm. and you want those seeds to be good, right? You want it to be like a foundation of like, hey, like we're right there with these teams, like let's go.
And yeah, I think you definitely saw with OGLA last year.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Like that team was like, I looked at that team on paper, I was like, dang, OGLA is like, they might low-key be a top three team, but then they just started off on the wrong foot. I mean, there's so many probably reasons for that we can't even get into, like, in terms of just that whole org and what ended up happening, but it's mm-hmm. it's a huge, huge part of it. It's a mental game, it's a emotional game on that level, and I think, you know, I'm super stoked going into Cold War with the new lineup. Any other questions or things you guys want to cover before we head off into Cold War?
I have a question for all three of you, right? Obviously there's been some, you know, a lot of news over the course of the last week with some, you know, some, I was going to say new, but they're not new, right? Like mega brands that belong as a part of Call of Duty, either coming back or ending up in their rightful place. Right. So, you know, I would love to hear, obviously the three of you have been in this scene a lot longer than I have. Yeah, Ash, I'd love to start with you, obviously with your Optic ties, but all three of you, right? Like, what are your thoughts on, you know, 100 Thieves coming in, Optic back in Hector's hands? Like, just talk about that from the perspective of three people who've been in this scene for a long time.
That's the best news that I could have heard probably in this offseason. I'm very happy with the roster that we've got, the content slate that we're ready to roll out very soon. But outside of ourselves, just looking at CDL, looking at esports as a whole, I was very unhappy and sad with the fact that OGLA was taken over by new ownership, who I guess they were just trying to like, yeah, it'll just be rough for a while and then it'll be fine. It was not fine. We all knew that it would not be fine. And I know, like, it was heck. I mean, you saw it in the content that he released yesterday, was like, I'm going to buy it back. Like, that's just the most Hector move I've ever seen. And I'm just so, so, so happy for him and all of my brothers there on that team. Because if you guys don't know, I was a part of that team for 9 years. And it's really important to me that, like, not only is it great for my friends, right, who they get to be back to what they were and who they are, but it's a great demonstration for how passion and grassroots esports truly can be. Hector and the team were able to, okay, we'll have to rebrand and Optic will just go to these weird new owners and then, you know, you'll have Huntsman. And just what they were able to do with that brand in a year is freaking crazy. And then now to be able to like say, okay, yeah, well, look, we're obviously good at this because we have the passion behind us. And it's almost like it's like a gift, right, for being good at that, is that you get your brand back. You get the green wall back, the real green wall. And I'm super happy for those guys. And I'm excited that Like, they were there before with Huntsman. They were big. They probably got the most sponsors. They got high viewership. Like, they got those things. But I think it's now going to be even more so. And when you look at 100 Thieves coming back and Nade Shot, you know, coming back into the fold, he's part of the reason that the Call of Duty community is even where it is right now, and even a part of why Optic is where it is right now, right? So to have him and this juggernaut force come back into the scene where it felt weird without him, I'm super, super happy, and I couldn't be more excited for all the players and staff and my friends involved in that.
Yeah. I agree. Look, Optic Gaming with Hector at the forefront belongs in Call of Duty. Nade Shot belongs in Call of Duty. The fact that they both happened so close to one another is a blessing for the CDL. Like, for a million reasons in one, I think of last year as, like, CDL beta, and this is CDL season one. I think you're going to see CDL hit new levels this year. Everything is, honestly, what has been done in this preseason has just been incredible, and it's a great time to be a CDL fan. You guys are in for a treat.
Mm-hmm. I feel like having those brands come back just brings a lot more consistency to the scene in terms of fans and viewership base, because both of them carry, you know, such a large fan base, and you're just always going to have those people watching the matches, and then, you know, they watch those teams, the support starts spreading to other teams, and it's just a really good thing for the league as a whole, just getting these brands back in here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with everything you all said. And, you know, from the perspective of a new team and a new organization in a new league, right? Like, just when you step back from what any one team wants or any one team's needs, like what you want for the league as a whole is the 12 strongest brands that you can possibly have, which feeds into a strong brand for the league. And that will drive viewership, will drive growth, will do all the things that we collectively want to accomplish. And there's no question in my mind that CDL has significantly leveled up over the past week, getting Thieves in, and then with Optic going back into Hector's hands. Like, these are, like, there's incredible momentum now for heading into season two. And Jake, you made a good point that it's sort of like season one is CDL beta. And, you know, in a lot of ways, like, the whole next few years are still part of beta, this beta period in a little bit, right? Like, for a lot of organizations, like, we're not looking at these things as 1 year plays or 2 year, 3 year. Like, this is, you know, we've talked about this at other times on this podcast. You know, the NFL just celebrated its 100th season, right? Like, you know, where is this league going to be in 10 years, in 30 years, right? And that, you know, sometimes that sounds a little bit abstract, but at the same time, like, sometimes you have to ride the wave a little bit. And, you know, if season one, you know, when we look back at sort of this journey in a few years, like, of, you know, it might seem to some people like, of course 100 Thieves was going to end up in the league. Of course, like, Optic was naturally going to end up back in Hector's hands. But, like, those things don't happen by magic, right? Like, it happens because, like, Hector, you know, I don't actually know, but, like, you know, Hector, like, probably relentlessly pursued that, right? And, like, key decisions were made along the way by the leadership of these organizations, by the leadership, you know, at CDL and Activision to make these things happen. And all of these things just, you know, make me incredibly excited and give me a ton of confidence in the trajectory of where this league is headed as we go into the second season. So I couldn't be more excited about it. You know, even if we overnight went from, you know, fourth in social media followers in the league to fifth, but you know what? That's like, these teams are going to help all of us level up, and that's something that, you know, we should never shy away from, that challenge to take on the best, whether it's in the competitive landscape or content wise, right, guys?
I think that's 100% true. Yeah, we went to fifth, probably. Well, definitely, but it's behind these juggernaut endemics. right? We're still, this is year like 13 month of this organization. It's still so crazy to think that we still have so much ahead of us that are it's going to be great things. It's going to be good things. I think we learned a ton from the first year, and it's just all going to be applied positively for our future. One thing that I think is important to note too is like, 10 years, I think 10 years ago, right? Because I was involved in Optic in the early days. I watched FaZe be born. Like, I literally watched FaZe be born and watched the whole trajectory and where they are now. And yes, they are the mega brands in the industry, but that doesn't mean you can't have, like, the more eyeballs that get on esports and COD League, you know, the more that opens the door for the other organizations to grow. Because, yeah, 10 years ago, Optic was sat there saying, man, we'll never be like this team. Well, okay, we never said that because our egos were massive. But, you know,
there also weren't any other teams at that point in time. I mean
there were, in other esports, there were. Not in COD, but in other esports, there were. So there were huge T1 teams in other esports at the time. And it's like, we look at that and, like, that seems achievable, but maybe not. And now, like, seeing it in practice over the last 10 years and how we've evolved to this point, I think that other teams, whether you're a year one in or 13 month team like us, you've got to feel good about the trajectory there when you see the juggernauts coming back into play. So I'm stoked. And gentlemen, I'm stoked for the season to start. I know we got a few months or a couple months. I don't know time very well. It feels like forever away, but I know it'll creep up on us. Any kind of parting thoughts we say as we go into Cold War? I know you guys are playing in some, what is it called? Night One tournaments? Where can I remember? Launch tournaments?
Kickoffs.
Okay.
Just know, if we beat some of our players tonight, you might be seeing us on the starting roster. That's a no question.
Let's go. I hope you guys win. That would actually, that's content right there, ladies and gentlemen.
I hope we lose if we play our players.
I hope you win for the content, but that's just me. All right, guys, thank you so
much.
You
need an extra player. I was lighting up those bots in the alpha and the beta. So, you know, as soon as I got a couple kills, they bumped me up into a better lobby, and then I got totally slaughtered. But, you know, I'm pretty good against those bots. Look out.
That's how she goes.
Soda, baby.
I'm super stoked. I'm excited to get my hands on the game.
Just so excited to play COD on PC, finally. I've been waiting so long.
Oh, my God, I haven't even thought about that. Whoa, we're going to play, like, actual good comp on a PC.
Yes, I can hold an angle and not get camera every single time.
Smooth like
this
butter.
This is going to be nuts. I honestly, like, haven't even thought about that in the last couple days heading into this.
It's going to be major. You know what else is cool and exciting and major? So Version 1, the Rocket League team, which is obviously our sister team here at Minnesota Rocker, the grid is starting back up for the winter split. Brand new split, brand new player on the team in Calm joining Torment and Gimmick. Look at that. Brett's change into the Version 1 head. I got
Let's
a Version 1 jersey I'm about to change into. They are starting a new split today. So even if you're listening to this after the fact, check us out. Twice a week we'll be live with the grid and hopefully playing in some regionals and having a good time. So if you've ever wanted to get into Rocket League, right now is a really good time to start. I'm really excited to see how Calm plays. He's a crazy player. The game just went free to play. Version 1 just got it. Like, it's lit, dude. If you're looking for a Rocket League team to start following, definitely give us a shot. And yeah, that's all we got today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate you. And if you're watching on YouTube, thanks for watching. Sorry, the stream did go down, but I will be putting a recorded version of this on YouTube, obviously. So great to see your guys' faces, or UCRs. You know what I'm saying. But yeah, we'll be back next week. I believe we're having Nameless on next week, so really excited to sit down and talk with him. It's going to be comedy. He's awesome. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening. We'll catch you next time.